Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Word Made Flesh. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope. And for this edition of our radio ministry, I'd like to speak about peacemaking, or what Paul calls the ministry of reconciliation. It's something that's been laid heavy on my heart as of late, more prominently than previously recognized, and that's for several reasons. I mean, we all have people in our lives that we determine to be enemies, or them, and we're us, and that's the reflection of the polarization that's permeating our culture and our country right now, and that's not really a ministry of reconciliation. I also think about, being a man who follows the way of Jesus and happens to lead a Christ-centered nonprofit organization that brings hope and healing to the most vulnerable in our community. It's kind of a double-edged sword in the sense that you want to uphold your personal faith, but you also want to uphold the integrity of the organization. You know, and sometimes when the organization's being persecuted, or at least it feels like it's being persecuted, or it's experiencing a sense of unfairness or injustice, whether that be from government officials, neighbors, those in our community who don't understand Christ's compassion for the poor and disadvantaged in our community. We all know we have people in our personal lives that we're at odds with. And as I said before, when we look into our country and see the polarization of us versus them, there seems to be the absence of peacemaking or the ministry of reconciliation. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of justice. He went so far as to distinguish between the devil's peace and God's true peace. Shane Claiborne, renowned author, speaker, activist, founder of The Simple Way out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, once said this: "A counterfeit peace exists when people are pacified or distracted or so beat up and tired of fighting that all seems calm. But true peace does not exist until there is justice, restoration, forgiveness. Peacemaking doesn't mean passivity. It is the act of interrupting injustice without mirroring injustice. The act of disarming evil without destroying the evildoer. The act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but the careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. It is about a revolution of love that is big enough to set both the oppressed and the oppressors free." Unquote. There are several scriptures that reflect peacemaking, or what Paul calls the ministry of reconciliation. And one of my favorites really comes out of Genesis chapter 33, verse 4, where it says, "But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Now, for our listening audience, most of you probably recognize that verse. We know that Jacob, right, had in a sense stolen the birthright of Esau, and so they're at odds, and all of a sudden Esau's coming up on Jacob, and he's got his army behind him, and Jacob has his huge family, and when Jacob sees Esau coming, he falls to the ground, and there it is. Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Right? It's hard to read that without being moved. I think we all feel the power of it, especially when we see ex-friends reconciling, right? Removing every barrier so that they can run and embrace and fall on one another's neck, right? And then we weep. And the beauty of it is what gets to us. It's not a negotiated settlement. It's no face-saving hypocrisy. It's pure honesty. It's unforced. It's deeply felt. We all pursue true reconciliation with all. And why is that? Because it's of God. As I mentioned, the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:18. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And I want to point out, Paul doesn't mention moments of reconciliation, meaning that we do it now and then when we feel like it. Now, Paul flat out says that God had given him the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, reconciliation is all that I do. It's how I roll. What else is there for me as a minister of the gospel? This is really what Paul is saying. Because we all know, if we're left to ourselves, we might think it's okay to leave ex-friends or even those who have persecuted as enemies to be just that, to be ex-friends or enemies. There's no further harm in being alone and being done with it. Why not just move on? And that's the glib slogan we might use. And Paul did qualify his hopes for reconciliation, as he says in Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Some people just shut down. We try, but they're not open to it. So it doesn't depend on you or me at that point, at least not anymore. We have to leave it with God. But so far as it depends on you or me or us, we seek out a real experience of peace with all, absolutely all. And we do it for the Lord's sake. The gospel being what it is and always will be, the message of reconciliation. Our churches should be the most reconciling, peaceable, happy places in town. I know Neighbors of Hope, we strive to be open to what oftentimes people stereotype as enemies. You know, sometimes Neighbors of Hope, being a Christ-centered, faith-based ministry, may be viewed as being meek in the face of injuries. So forgiving toward the undeserving, right? Those who Neighbors of Hope serve, they probably don't deserve that. I'm not sure I deserve it. I'm not sure any of you listening to this, we deserve the grace that we receive, right? But if we're going to make people angry, let this be the reason. Let them be angry because we're trying to make peace. Let us refuse to join in their selfish battles because we're following a higher call. What is that call? Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, we're called to be peacemakers, the true children of God. Because see, peace is about being able to recognize in the face of the oppressed our own faces, and in the hands of the oppressors our own hands. Peace, like most beautiful things, begins very small. Matthew 18 makes it clear. He gives us a process for approaching someone who has hurt or offended us. First, we're to talk to them directly, not at them or around them. Most communities that have been around for a while, like, you know, decades, centuries, they recognize, they identify what we'd call straight talk, or creating an environment where people do not avoid conflict, but we speak honestly to one another. As one of the core values of a healthy community, straight talk is countercultural in a world that prefers politeness to honesty. Benedict of Nursia, in his Benedictine Rule, speaks passionately about the deadly poison of murmuring, the negativity and the dissension that can affect a community and rot the very fabric of love. But peacemaking begins with what we can change, and that's ourselves. But it doesn't end there. We are to be peacemakers in a world riddled with violence. That means interrupting violence with imagination on our streets and in the world. This peace, that is, not like any way of the empire brings peace, is rooted in the nonviolence of the cross of Christ, where we see our Savior who loves his enemies so much he died for them. Peace is often not our instinct, which is why it must be cultivated and grown in us. Even Jesus' key disciple, Peter, picks up his sword when the soldiers approach Jesus. Jesus' response is brilliant. He scolds Peter, and then he heals the wounded persecutor, only to be dragged away and hung on a Roman cross. If ever there was a case for just war or a justified violence to protect the innocent, Peter had it. Yet Jesus rebukes his logic of the sword. The early Christians, we know, often said, quote, when Jesus disarmed Peter, he disarmed every Christian, unquote. For hundreds of years, Christians were never seen carrying swords, and they followed the way of the Prince of Peace even unto death, loving their enemies and blessing those who cursed them. It doesn't look like a good strategy, particularly a strategy for running an empire, but it is the narrow way that leads to life. Undoubtedly, it doesn't always seem to work. As we look at history, and even as we read the scriptures, there seems to be evidence that the violence has worked at times, and it's failed at times, just as nonviolence has worked at times and failed at times. In the end, the question is, which one looks most like Jesus? For we are called not just to be successful, but to be faithful to the way of the cross, even unto death. The way of the cross did not seem to work on Friday, but the promise is that Sunday is coming. In the end, love wins. This can be hard to remember as we go about our lives, but the Transfiguration reminds us of how the disciples' eyes were open to the reality of Jesus' power even before the resurrection. If we have eyes to see, the lightning that flashes east to west and the nonviolent coming of God can illuminate the world wherever we are. If we are willing, one of the Desert Fathers once said, you can become all flame. And let me close with this. A quote from Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who once said, God has identified himself with the hungry, the sick, the naked, the homeless. Hunger, not only for bread, but for love, for care, to be somebody to someone. Nakedness, not of clothing only, but nakedness of that compassion that very few people give to the unknown. Homeless, not only for shelter made of stone, but that homelessness that comes from having no one to call your own. May we all go forth this day as ministers of reconciliation, sharing the peace of Christ with all we encounter. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, and love be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.